Oh, to be like thee. Oh, I want to be like him. What disturbs me so much is I'm so much unlike him sometimes. Thank you for that. Boy, that's a great song. Let's get our Bibles out and turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Let's stand, please. Isaiah chapter 45. And verse number 5. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 5. The Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse number 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Verse number 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. You getting the picture? Verse number 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And one more time for good measure. 46:9, chapter 46, verse number 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. I want you to notice all these verses we just read before I let you sit down. Out of the book of Isaiah, he is declaring, listen to me, the prophet Isaiah is declaring, through the inspiration of God and God speaking about himself there, that God Jehovah is the only God and there is none like him. Amen. Nobody like him. He's altogether unique from Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and Krishna, all the Greek gods, Zeus and Apollos, the Titans, Atlas, and anybody else. Amen. There's none like him. Our God is unique. And what it means to be unique is that he's without like or he's without equal. There is no God like our God. So I'm going to preach to you a little bit here this morning, a message entitled, Our Unique God. And I just want to bring out some things about our God that I believe makes him unique from us and anything else in the universe. I got to thinking one day when I was going through here reading these passages, I got to thinking about some things that I'm aware of about God that I've learned through his Bible and learned being his child. And I got to thinking, man, that is so unique. There's nobody on the earth, nobody ever like that. God is so unique in that fashion. And I just want to do this for a couple of reasons. First of all, to give God the glory and honor that he deserves, because he's the one true God. He's the only one ought to be bragged on anyway. Every once in a while, you ought to take a service out, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and just brag on the Lord. Amen. If you don't do nothing else, just brag on the Lord. I'm so sick and tired of hearing all this bragging on everybody else. Amen. They ain't worth the gunpowder it takes to blow them up. Why don't you brag on somebody that deserves it? Amen. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He deserves it. And then I want us to help us to see some things about God this morning that we should desire for ourselves. And maybe it will instill faith in us in this great, unique God and fear of him if you're lost and undone here this morning. Amen. Brother Dan, would you pray for this message? And everybody can be seated. Yes.
God, we have our minds on what
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask you to bless Brother Dennis, God empowering the music.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask that you help him to step aside.
Please, yes. God, amen. Amen.
Lord, that you give him power.
Yes, Lord.
Give him the words to say.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to heart. We ask Holy Spirit that you walk the aisles of this church, deal with hearts as only you can.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask, Father, that you help us, Lord, when we leave this building, that God, we be better Christians.
Amen.
Lord,
yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Here we go. Number one, he is the only one who ever created anything. Do you realize God's the only one who ever created anything? 65 times a form of the word create shows up in your King James Bible, and it's always a reference to God. Create shows up 8 times. Created 45 times. Createth 1 time. Creation 6 times. Creator 5 times. Now listen, man may make a lot of things, but we've never created anything. No man has ever created anything. Only God can create. Listen, if you're going to create something, you got to come up with all the supplies. That's God's dirt, man. That's God's matter. That's his elements. That's his water. That's his sunlight. Man has never created anything. God created it all. We should praise him and acknowledge him more. Give God the credit. I'm so tired of giving these people here on earth the credit when they ought to go to God. And the Bible's real. Listen, we're not going to get into an apologetics class here today. The Bible just starts out in Genesis 1:1 by saying that in the beginning, God. It was him. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not against apologetics, and I believe we need it, especially in our society today. But I'm just here to tell you, the Bible starts out just taking for granted that God exists. And you can look in nature and prove that he exists. Listen, you have to work much harder at believing that there isn't a God than you have to do at believing there is a God. It's in your heart, it's in your conscience, you see it everywhere, and you, when we reject the light, then we don't get any more light. But when you receive the light God gives you through his creation and through his precious word, he'll give you more light. Amen. But he's the only one who ever created anything. Isaiah 45:12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded, he says. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Everything that's created is created by Jesus Christ. Notice this, Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Amen. How about that? Through Jesus Christ, they're created by him and for him. Right. We are created for him. I'm going to read that to you here in a moment. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, we have to believe that God did that. Now, people come up to me all the time under this point that God is the only one that ever created anything. People in my past and in the ministries come up and ask about what is the purpose of life? Why did God put me here on the earth? What am I supposed to be doing? I can give you your purpose to life here this morning. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do any yoga or meditation or go see somebody up in the hills that just ain't ate nothing but rice in 3 years and shaved his head bald. And you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to go on no quest, no searching. Stay right here in Dyersburg. Bless God. Look at the King James Bible and find it out this morning. You know what you put here on this earth to do? Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created and put here to bring pleasure to God. That's your purpose for life. And I have found out when you fulfill your purpose that you're put on this earth to do, you will feel more fulfilled inside. Always. The reason some of you ain't fulfilled and you're not satisfied with your life is you're trying to fulfill your own purpose. You're not fulfilling the true purpose that God put you on this earth for, to bring honor and glory to him, to serve him. Once you do that, brother, once you do that, sister, you'll enjoy life a whole lot more, I guarantee you. Number two, he's the only one who sees man's heart without any respect for his outward appearance. God is the only one that can see a man's heart without any respect for his outward appearance. 1 Samuel 16:7, remember when Samuel's going to choose David to be king, and Samuel comes in there to Jesse, and David's out in the field, and he's looking at the brothers, and he's saying, man, these ain't the ones. And he says, you got any more sons? He said, I got one out there watching the sheep. He said, go get them. This is what this verse is in context. We have 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord is not looking for somebody but big, some tall, dark, and handsome dude. Or some educated person. Obviously, he's using me. Or some special gifted person. Listen, the Lord's looking at a fella's heart. Your heart. He's not even trying to find somebody necessarily that's got all his doctrine in a row. He's not even looking at somebody that can rightly divide good. Do I think it's important? You mighty right. I wouldn't want to be a member of a church that didn't rightly divide. I think it's that important. But there's a lot of this rightly dividing crowd God never, ever uses. And a lot of this crowd that don't even know what a King James Bible is, God will use them. Why? Because their heart's right. Their heart is tender. And you done got so puffed up about all you know, your heart's not right anymore. God's not going to touch you, sir. Listen, sir, I don't care how much you know, God's never going to use you. He's going to put you on a shelf till your heart gets right. Till your heart gets right, then he'll use you. And God's not looking at a fellow on his outward credentials. He's able to look right through inside somebody and see into their heart. And that's what he looks on a fellow about. God isn't superficial like we are. He isn't like Hollywood, worried about plastic surgeries and models and bodybuilders and all that mess, that nonsense. Listen, your physical beauty has no reference to God's opinion of you. Your physical beauty has no reference to God's opinion of you. Listen, you may be a pretty woman here today. You may be a handsome man. God could care less.
Amen.
God could care less. You see, I wish I was more like God like that. I do. I wish I could honestly have said, you know, when I met Miss Darby in Bible college, I was just drawn to her good godly spirit. And I wouldn't have cared how she looked. I wouldn't care if she'd been the ugliest woman on campus. I would have married her because she loved Jesus. You lying dog. I thought she's beautiful. I still do. That ain't changed a bit, has it, babe? Now I'm being facetious, and that's how we are. But you want to know the truth about it? I don't like being like that. I don't like being like that. I want to be like God. God walks up, he says, I don't care what you look like. I don't care how smart you are, or think you are or not. How much money you have, you don't have. Who's your daddy, who's your mama, whatever. There's only one thing I'm concerned with, man. What's your ticker like? What kind of heart do you have? God's not concerned about what you got on the outside. God's concerned about what you have to offer on the inside.
Amen. Good, brother.
When I read that stuff about God looking on the heart and man looking on outward appearance, it convicts me.
Yeah.
Our whole world is so consumed with appearance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't all these people that's always in the gym, and listen, I'm not against going to the gym. I'm not against trying to get you body in shape. You need to do that. Why don't all these people that's in the gym at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning before work, why don't they read their Bible also? Why don't they pray? Why don't they try to do something for God?
Right.
You go in the gym. You go in the gym. You ever seen them men in the gym? They're standing there in front of that mirror going. Bunch of idiots. And they ain't even got any muscles. I actually do. I know you can't tell it. Mine's covered up with fat, but they're there. Listen, you ever watch that Strongest Man in the World contest when they're picking up boulders and moving trucks and all that? None of them fellas look like them bodybuilders and folks on the movies.
Right.
All them folks look like me. They got a big old gut and all, but they're just naturally country boy strong. That's what I am. I know I don't look like a model, but the muscles are there. It's just a lot of fat around it. That nonsense. Listen, none of us can do as God does, but we ought to want to. We should look at a man's heart. We shouldn't look at how he looks or his wallet or his intellect or his position, especially when choosing a spouse or a leader. We ought to try to want to look at that thing like God does. God looks at a man or a woman's heart. And if your heart's right here this morning, if your motive is right and your heart's right, he can fix your doctrinal problems. But I don't care how straight your doctrine is, if your heart's not right, he'll never, ever use you.
Amen.
Never. You'll be right here on the shelf 20 years from now if the Lord don't come back. Number three, God, our God, he's unique because he's the only one who has never and never will battle pride. You ever thought about that? If anyone had a right to be prideful, it'd be God, wouldn't it? God owns everything. He knows everything. He actually does know everything. I know some people think they know everything, but you don't. He actually is omniscient. He knows everything. Yet there's not any ounce of pride in God. That's unique. That is unique. Every one of us in here battle pride, don't we? And the thing about battling pride is, if there's ever a fellow that ought to have to battle pride, ought to be God, and he doesn't. If there's ever anybody that shouldn't battle pride, it's us, and we do. Sometimes I'm amazed sometimes when I get up in the morning to get ready and I go in the bathroom and I look in the mirror and I see what's looking back at me. And then I go, God in heaven, how in the world can I ever have any pride? But I do. I do. You realize how unique God is? God's never been puffed up about anything. Never been prideful about anything. But his creation, that's all we are. Over there in Job 41:34, talking about the devil, he beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of pride. That's Leviathan there, but that's the devil. He said he's a king over all the children of pride. You know who your king is if you're puffed up? The devil. And James 4:6 says, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. How many of you want the grace of God in your life? You want the grace of God on you? You got to be humble. He will resist the proud. He resisteth the proud. God is the only one that's never battled pride. You know, pride's a terrible thing. Pride to keep you from going on for God. You know what? I believe there's more people burning in hell today under our feet somewhere down the middle of this earth. There's more people burning in hell today because of pride than anything else. Just old selfish, puffed up, just you can't tell me anything, stubborn pride. This is the way I've always been, preacher, and this is the way I'll die. You're a fool.
Amen.
You're a fool.
Yep.
You're a fool to say this is the way I've always been and I can't change. You better trust Christ. You will not go to heaven when you die.
Right.
And your pride won't mean anything down there in hell, crying out for mercy and never getting any, never even any hope of mercy.
Right.
Here's another one. God... He's the only one that's never battled pride. He's the only one who has never lost his temper and then lost control. Really. God's been angry. He's been righteously angry, but he doesn't make rash and unsound decisions. He's never been out of control with his anger. Have you ever thought about that? Listen, we get angry about carnal things, don't we? Am I the only one in here? Anybody else going to be honest?
Amen.
But God, listen, God's anger is perfect. That's why people ought to be careful, in my opinion, about spanking your children when you're mad. I believe in spanking your children. I don't care if this goes out on live, whatever or not. I still believe the Bible teaches you ought to spank your children. However, I don't believe in spanking your children like a bully when you're mad and angry. I would always calm down before I spanked my son. That way I knew that I was spanking him for the right reason. There were some times when he'd make me so mad, I'd say, Darby, I know you didn't see it. I'm the one that got on to him. You whip him. I'm not touching him. I'm not going to be, you don't spank a kid to be a bully. You spank him to help him. And that's the difference with God. Listen, God has lost his temper, but he's always lost it for the right reason. God has never got out of control with his temper. He's always restrained himself like he needs to restrain himself. He's never acted in a crazy way with his temper. Now, some of you men and some of you women, but some of you men, God's pretty unique to you, ain't he? Amen. I know. How many of you threw the hammer? Amen. Thank you. Brother, God will help you today. You're honest. How many of you threw the crowbar? How many of you said a few things you wish you hadn't said? Amen. God will help you. Anger. Just lashing out with your mouth toward your spouse. Sometimes toward God. You wouldn't say that, but it is. But man, I'm just so sick and tired of this hot weather. Who gives you the hot weather?
Yeah.
I told God I did enough complaining about the cold weather. I'm not going to complain about the hot. I can't stand this cold weather and all this ice, and I can't get to the church. And God said, boy, I moved you up here to preach, and I know all about the weather. Are you complaining against me? Well, God, you know I'm not used to this kind of... Are you complaining against me?
Come on.
I reckon I am, Lord. I'm sorry. If you want to freeze Dyer's bird for a month, help yourself. I'll get here if I can. We should surrender our bad temper to the one who never gets out of control.
Amen.
He is the only one who really knows everything. He really does know everything. So don't question his decision. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Job 37:16, dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect? It says he's perfect in knowledge. Job 21:22, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? Romans 11:34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Nobody's been his counselor. You may think you know everything, but you don't. See, listen, the thing about this, if we truly believe that God knows everything and we don't, then we ought to trust what he says in his book. We ought to trust what he says when he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He's unique in that. Listen, we serve a God that knows everything. And we're a people that don't know anything. I want to be more like that. I want to realize that I need to trust God with my life, and he knows everything and I don't know anything, and just believe him even if I don't understand. Listen to me now. God never asks you to understand this book. He never asks you to have almost agree, every time agree with it, because you're human. But what you better do is believe it. And what you better do is adhere to it. There's things in this book that I still don't understand why he did what he did. And humanly speaking, humanly wisdom would tell me, God, you didn't do right there. You didn't give them a fair shake there. You should have done different there, humanly speaking. And there's things in this book when I'm reading over there, especially in the book of Zechariah and some of that stuff about the second advent and millennial and all that stuff. I don't understand what that stuff is talking about. Listen, it doesn't matter if I understand what it's talking about. It doesn't matter if my flesh don't agree with it. It doesn't matter if it don't make a lick of sense to me. Listen, God's ways are past finding out, the Bible says.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to understand it all. If I understood everything in this Bible, then I knew somebody no smarter than me wrote it. But God, the God of all the universe, above everything, wrote this book. We're not supposed to understand it all. We're not supposed to put it in... have a reason of why he did this and why he didn't do that and why he says this is wrong and why he says this is not wrong. We ought to just believe it. Why? Because we know he knows something we don't. He's our unique God. He's a unique God. He knows things we don't know. And we'll never know this side of heaven. How about that? All right, he is the only one. Listen to this, just a few more this morning. Our unique God, he's the only one who had complete power and never abused it.
Amen.
There's nobody else that ever lived that had complete power and never abused it. These are just some things I was thinking about one day and wrote them down because I just thought that it would be good to present them to you this morning so you know what kind of a unique and special God we have. We don't have it like everybody else. We have a God, listen, we have a God who had complete power. Listen to me. God is the only one in the universe that had complete and total power over everything. And he never abused it one time.
Amen.
Doesn't that make him awfully unique?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Doesn't that make him awfully special? Think of a little bit of power we've had. How many times we've abused it. Think about that. The devil had great power, but what did he do with it? I guess he had more power than just about any of his created beings. He abused it. Dictators, kings, and government, and pastors. And cultish-type pastors. No, you're not thinking right. I'm not talking about Jim Jones, bless God. I'm talking about independent Baptist preachers. Abusing their power. Lording over God's people. Thinking you got to come and lick their boots and ask their permission for everything. You're stupid, preacher, whoever you are.
Come on.
That stuff burns me up. Don't you come to me and say, God, should I marry old so-and-so over there? How am I supposed to know? And say, preacher, does God want me to marry old so-and-so over there? I don't know. I don't have to live with her. Don't ask me if you're supposed to marry. You find out. Don't ask my permission about buying a car. I ain't got to make the payments on it. Don't ask my permission about, should you buy this house? Should I do this? Should I do that? I don't have to live with the consequences, man. You do.
Yeah.
That way you can come back and say, well, preacher, this woman's giving me trouble, and you told me I could marry her. You ain't putting that on me, brother. They're taking liberty where they don't have it. That's Rome. God is the only one who had complete power, and he never abused it. Most of us have just a little bit of power, and we abuse it. Listen to me. Please listen to me here this morning. If God ever gives any of you power in your employment or in your home or in your church or your community or government or whatever, if he ever gives you any power, listen to me. Three things you ought to always remember. Number one, be honest and fair with that power. Be honest and fair with whatever power he gives you. Number two, be merciful with that power. Be merciful with that power. I know I'm a little rough around the edges when I preach, but on my personal dealings with you, if any of you ever dealt with me on a personal level, you know I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to jump on you and beat you over the head with the Bible. I try to have mercy on people like I want them to have on me. You be fair and honest, you be merciful, and you stay humble with whatever power God gives you. Because after all, you didn't deserve it or earn it. He gave it to you. And you'll not get puffed up with the power God gives you. That's what's wrong with preachers. They get all puffed up. They can't even make their wife do what they want them to do at home, but they can come to church and have 300 or 400 people, and they all, what's the preacher say? And it goes to their head. And it messes them up. God gave you any power you have, so don't abuse it. God never did, and he never will. Any kind of power you've got here, remember, you need to be fair and honest with it. You need to be humble with it. You need to be merciful with it. Merciful to people. Just like God's been merciful to you. And I'll say one more thing about our unique God, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. He's unique because God is the only one that can save your soul or damn your soul. God, he's the only one that can. Now listen, I've heard people say, well, you know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell. Listen to me now. Technically, I know what you're saying, because you didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's why you die in your sins and go to hell. I know that. I know you make that choice, but listen to me. Please listen to me. Nobody ever goes up to the edge of the lake of the fire and says, well, I blew it, man, and then does a cannonball off into the lake of fire. God boots you off into that thing, screaming and crying. They drag you off into it. You don't voluntarily go to hell. He puts you there because you reject his son. God is the only one that can save you. And God is the only one that can damn you. So why are you worried about what everybody else thinks? You better worry about what he told you in this book. This is all that's going to matter one day when you stand before him as a saved person at the judgment seat of Christ or lost at the white throne. It's all that's going to matter. Listen, John 14:6, he makes it pretty clear. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, not a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's what Christ said. You'll go through Christ or you're going to hell. Acts 4:12. Notice what he says here. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Only one way to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not Mary, not the Pope, not a preacher, not nobody else. It's Jesus. Amen. Or you're not going. You're not going. I don't care how long you've been a member of a Baptist church. You're not going. Psalm 50:22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. That Bible says that when God gets ready to tear you into pieces, there will be none that can deliver. He's pretty unique, ain't he? You know what Jesus said one time over there in the Gospels? He said this. He said, don't fear the fellow that can kill you. He said, what you need to fear now is you need to fear that one that can destroy your body and your soul in hell. Amen. He said, you're worried about what people say and do and how they treat you here on earth. He said, what you better be worried about is who is going to assign you to a particular destination for eternity. And only God does that. Amen. If some of you, and I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, we're going to close this here in a moment. I want to help you. But if some of you was half as concerned about what God thinks about you as you are your Facebook pals, and your buddies at school, and your buddies at work, and your neighbors, and people on the ball team, and all that other bunch of junk and nonsense, you might amount to something for God one day. Listen to me. Do you know how it's going to end up one day? Listen to how it's going to end up for everybody in here. Would you please listen to me? Either you're going to stand before the white throne, or you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. One of the two. Everybody in here this morning. And when the gavel hits that heavenly podium, the very last thing said about you, the very last verdict given about you before you go into your eternal destination is by God and nobody else. That Bible says about the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's how it's going to wind up before you and I go into eternity. The last one we're going to answer to and the last one that gets to say anything about us is God. Why are you so worried about everybody else and being politically correct and all that nonsense? Won't you try to be biblically correct? Won't you try to do what this Word of God says? And all these people you're trying to impress and you're concerned about what they think and how what they're going to say about you and how they look at you, listen, when you die one day and you stand before God, the heavenly crickets are going to be chirping. They're not going to stand up there and defend you or say anything for you or help you and help your cause when you answer to God. They're not going to say anything. They're going to be absent. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's going to be something like this. Somehow or another, you're going to walk up there, and the God of the universe that's created billions and billions of people and billions of angels and seraphims and cherubims and the elders and sons of God, whatever he's created, you know what's going to happen? Somehow or another, that thing with all the billions and billions and billions and billions of things he's created, it's going to be very, very personal. It's going to wind up where it's just me and God, me and God, me and God, nobody else, just me and God. Does that scare anybody? Nobody to vouch for you, nobody to testify for you, nobody to help your cause, just you and God. And all mouths will be stopped. There'll be no excuses. He'll open the books. And I believe this King James Bible will be one of the books. And he'll judge you out of that thing. And when he says guilty, innocent, this is the case, that's how you'll go. He's very, very unique. Even a judge here on earth can put you into jail for life. But he's still not unique like God, because only God can determine your eternal destination. Only God. Now listen. I want you to give praise and glory and honor to God this morning because he's worthy. That's what this message is about. He's unique, ain't he? Yeah. We'll just brag on him because of his uniqueness compared to his creation. But I want you to look at it another way too as we get ready to close. Do you have any desire in your heart this morning to have some of these same attributes? No pride. No unrighteous anger. No judging others by their outward appearance. Never abusing our power. Did you hear what Brother Jonathan sang right before I came up here to preach? Did you hear what he sang? Oh, to be like thee. Do you know what I've just done here the last 25 or 30 minutes? I took 25 or 30 minutes to describe our God for you. And you and I have to be confronted with the awful, awful reality. We're nothing like him. And it ought to burn in every Christian's heart this morning that we want to be more like that God. And it'll burn in every lost person's heart this morning that I want to meet that God and be saved, because that God is the one that's going to determine whether I go to heaven or hell for eternity. God help you if you're lost here today to meet that Savior, because he's the only one, that can decide your eternal destination. God help every Christian here today. Would you please consider what a unique God we have? And would you see how unlike we are? And would you pray that prayer that songwriter wrote many years ago? Oh, to be like thee, Lord. Lord, be like thee. Would you make me more like you? Every head bowed and eye closed.